Now, all the women in the congregation know that guys don't particularly like to read instructions. Typical guys, you know, most guys, not every guy. But there are a few those weird ones that like to read those instructions. But you know what? God tries to give us instructions for life. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about that. I was reading a funny story about these two farmers that were out by the river fishing. And it was Fred and Luke, and they actually made a giant sign so that they would be able to hold it up if any car come by. And the sign literally said that the end is near. The end is near. And, you know, as one car comes speeding down the road, Fred jumped up and, you know, he's holding the sign up. The end is near. The end is near. And the guy in this convertible flying down the road, you know, he rolls down his window as he passes them and says, "You religious nuts need to leave me alone." And pretty soon you heard, splash. Fred looks at Luke and said, "You know what? Maybe we should change the sign a little bit and say just, the bridge is out. The end is near." Whenever in our lives we look for instruction, you know, we look in God's Word, but let's face it, sometimes it's hard to mine out, you know, the instruction, the specific instruction that we need for the situations that we're going through in our lives. Sometimes it's not that easy. You know, the Bible is such that, since Kim stole mine, I can't pick it up, is such that, you know, you just, you can't just flip it open and say, okay, that job that you're praying about, you should take. It doesn't say that, right, just specifically. You really do have to pray and ask God to lead you and guide you. And He can use the Word. He does use the Word of God to lead us and guide us. But we have to be willing to dig into it, don't we? We have to be willing to read it, and we find that God does want to guide us. He wants to give us instructions, you know, and we have to be able to interpret those instructions. And I want to talk about that today. I want to look at a passage of Scripture in 2 Kings, Doug. We're just going to take our time, Doug, going through this. I might even go back and forth a little bit, so bear with me there. But this is the story that I want to start with today. Now, you may have read this story before in 2 Kings. I really pray that God is able to speak to you today from these words, to be able to apply them to your situations that you're going through. The story is about the prophet Elisha. And Elisha, we know, followed Elijah. Elisha was also a mighty prophet. And he actually had a school of prophecy. Did you know that? Elijah had started, he continued it. He trained others to be able to be prophets of the Lord. There was a school of the prophets. And we find in this passage of Scripture that that's the background that's going on here. I guess that one older gentleman that had been in the school of the prophets, and because he was in the school of the prophets, sometimes it meant that he was away from home and he was studying with Elisha. Well, we find out in this passage of Scripture that the wife of one of these men that was in the school of the prophets, the company of the prophets, the wife is the one that sends this message to Elisha. And the message is, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." And she says, "You know that he revered, you know, the Lord, that he feared the Lord, that he served the Lord, that he held the Lord in great reverence. He revered the Lord. But now," it says, "his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Let me just stop there for a second. You understand that in these times, even as they lived under the old covenant, that the Mosaic law did make provision that if you owed a creditor and you could not pay, the creditor was legally allowed to actually take and make you work it off, make you like a slave until that debt was paid. And so that debt transferred from the father to the sons when the father died. And so literally this story is about a woman, a widow. A widow who finds herself in a place that now she's not able to pay her debts. Her husband is now dead. And to make matters worse, the creditors are talking about coming and actually taking her two boys, her two sons, to work off the debt that she has no way to pay. And so what does she do? She calls for the man of God. She calls for Elisha, the one that she knew had the anointing of God upon him. She calls upon the one that knew, that she knew heard from the Lord. Now let's be real transparent here, open with our feelings and our thoughts. This is really what we do too when we're seeking. We don't know the answer ourselves. We want to go to somebody that hears from God. And we want to also be able to hear from God ourselves. But isn't it great to have a confirmation, to be able to have others that can help you whenever you're struggling like that? We've been talking a little bit about church, and that certainly is one of the key functions that should go on in church, is you should be able to call upon others that can help you, that can pray along with you, that can seek God with you. Because it is true, just like it happened today in our service, sometimes God will speak to somebody, and that word that he gives is for us. But because sometimes of our circumstances, we're not always hearing what somebody else is able to hear. You ever have that happen? And, you know, you wonder why, well, God, why doesn't God just speak it to me? Why does he use Justin to bring forth a word? It's because Justin finally was willing. He had been hearing, and now he was willing. I remember one time, oh gosh, it's been years now, when we were in a service, we've been teaching on the spiritual gifts. We've been teaching on being able to hear from the Lord and being willing to be used by him, being willing to speak something that the Lord would place in your spirit, because you never know. That could be a word that somebody desperately needs to hear. Be willing. And I remember that my good friend Jim Veach was here, and I, you know, deep in worship, the Lord was speaking to him. And, you know, like many of us, Lord, is that you? Lord, is, you know, Lord, I'm not sure. What if it's wrong? You know, and that. About that time, Jim told me after the service that somebody over here spoke the exact word that the Lord had been speaking to him. And, of course, Jim's telling me this after the service, and he said, you know, it's kind of a twofold feeling, that in one way I felt good because I was truly hearing from God, because he spoke the same word that I was hearing. The other thing was a conviction. How come I didn't speak? How come I wasn't willing to speak? Remember that a couple years ago? How come I wasn't willing to speak? The truth is, this is what happens when the body of Christ comes together. We, in our situations, we just always... We can't always hear ourselves. Sometimes our eyes are on the things that are our problems, and we're not hearing. We need to be able to count on others to be able to hear too. This widow, she knew Elisha heard from God. And so in her desperate situation, she was able to speak to this man of God and say, "What should I do?" And she recounted the story that I'm sure he was familiar with. Now listen to what he replied in verse 2. In verse 2, Elisha says, "How can I help you?" Now really interestingly, he says, "Tell me what you have in your house." It starts getting interesting here to see how God is going to meet this woman's need. And I want you to pick this up as we go through how God is going to meet this woman's need. God can meet your need in a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, he can make manna come down from heaven. He could make things automatically appear. But you know what the truth is? God's preference of meeting needs is to be able to do it in a way that teaches. That's how he loves to be able to meet needs, because he sees bigger needs going on at the same time. This woman saw a clear need about, hey, how am I going to survive? My boys are going to be taken. I don't have any money. The Lord even saw some deeper needs that he was able to meet in the process of meeting her physical needs as well, or her financial needs. So Elijah says, I believe, inspired by the Spirit of God, Elijah says, tell me, what do you have in your house? And, you know, can you picture the widow responding to this question and looking around her house and saying, I got nothing. What do you mean, what do I have in my house? I have nothing. I have this little bit of oil. I have this little bit of oil. That's all. She says, there's nothing there at all except a little oil. Now, let me tell you, when you read about oil in the scriptures, most of the time, Old Testament and New, oil is a picture of what or whom? Do you know? The anointing of God's Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, exactly. Most of the time, when God uses oil in the scriptures, it is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The anointing, as you said, of the Holy Spirit. She says, I have a little anointing. I have a little oil. I have a little of the Spirit. Now listen what happens next. Elisha says in verse 3, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Anybody in here can? Anybody can? Yeah. You know, I was at a visit the other day up in New Buena Vista. I was talking about this, and as I was there, a woman was canning peaches, and she was also making peach jam. Oh. And so, you know, I guess I was salivating as she was making this stuff, and so, you know, she took pity on this poor man of God and gave me a little jar of peach jam. And she gave it to me saying these words. She said, Pastor, I'll make you a deal. You bring me the jar back and I'll keep filling it up. You bring me the jar back and I'll keep filling it up. And then, you know, she explained. She said, you know, I usually give a lot of my jars away, but the problem is they never come back. Does anybody ever have that happen? Yeah, they never come back. And she said, that's the expensive part, you know, these jars. She says, bring the jar back, Pastor. I'll keep it filled for you. Guess what? I'm going to bring that jar back. I tasted that peach jam, and it is good. So this woman goes to her neighbors, and she says, I need your jars. What? Yeah, your empty jars. Now you have to understand how God works. He's not just doing a miracle for her. He's getting the whole neighborhood involved, you know. Don't you think they're going to wonder when the widow goes over and says, I need your empty jars? How many do you want? All that you have. What? All that you have. Don't you think? Now, come on. Put yourself. Don't you think they ask why? Why do you want these jars? What's she going to tell them? What's she going to tell when she's going and asking for these jars? What do you think? What's she going to tell them? Oh, just trust me. I just need them. Well, for what? I mean, we sometimes have nosy neighbors. What? What are you going to use these jars for? Well, the man of God told me to gather them up. That's all I can tell you right now. The man of God said, go get these jars. Somehow, he's going to help me with these jars. So she does. She gathers up. And he says, don't gather just a few. Don't gather just a few. And now look at verse 4. Now this is where it gets interesting as well. Verse 4. It says, no, go back. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Now stay there for a second, though. Now, again, this is a teaching moment, because God could have did the miracle in front of the neighbors, but now you see it turns into a private miracle. Why? Now, some of you have boys or children, you know. Do you know what this is doing to her sons? Because her sons are the ones that's going to be involved in making this miracle happen. I want to show you something here. The man of God is not there. The man of God sent the word. Now she's being obedient. He's not present. The prophet is not present during this miracle. So this woman is unmistakably going to see God work, and her sons are going to be involved. And what do you think they're going to have? Huh? They're going to have a faith as a result of seeing what God is doing. You see how God works? He's involving the whole family now. He wants the whole family to learn from this miracle of provision. So the sons are involved in the miracle. And so the prophet says, now start to pour all the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons, and they, the boys, brought the jars to her, and she was the one doing the pouring. Verse 6. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." And as he did, the last drop of golden oil plopped out of the jar that she started with. Remember how much she had to begin with? Just a little oil. She was pouring from the little oil that she had. The single flask, Mars, that she had, that she said, "I know how much is in there." A little oil. The single flask is the one that did not run out until what? The last jar was filled. "Bring me another jar. There is no more." The oil stopped flowing. Why? The need was met in accordance with the amount of vessels that there was to be filled. Now, a teaching moment. If the oil represents the Holy Spirit and we understand ourselves as the temple of the Holy Ghost, if we can see ourselves in this picture as we are the vessels that God desires to pour in until we are filled to the full, then we begin to be able to take application from a very practical lesson for our own lives. Last week we spoke about how soul health is whole health, and how if we prioritize our spiritual life, God brings health to all of our lives. Wholeness. Wholeness. That's His desire for us to be whole. But it begins with our spirit. It begins with our soul health. God desires to fill you with every good thing. Every good thing He desires to fill you with. And He knows the definition of good. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus is speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that in the two gospel accounts, they read a little bit different. When it says that, you know, your Father is always able to give good gifts to His children. Remember that passage of Scripture? Your Father is always able to give good gifts to your children. One gospel account says, "And how much more of the Holy Spirit will He give to them who ask?" How much more? How much more good gift? How much more Holy Spirit? I want you to know something. God's Spirit is His provision for your soul. His Spirit. If you are filled with His Spirit to the fullness, then you begin to hear from God. Then you begin to operate in the fullness of God's Spirit. Then you begin to delve and tap into and draw from the well that never will run dry. In our lives, come on, let's face it, we run dry. I mean, we run around, we're busy, we're tired sometimes, we're trying, Sometimes there's not enough hours to sleep as much as we need. Sometimes we get dry. We have to understand that if God is filling us to the full with His Spirit, do you realize that God's Spirit truly is everything that you need? Everything in the sense that if you are filled to the fullness of God's Spirit, then you will be led and directed and guided by God into His perfect will. This is what I was talking about, that yes, God wants to guide you. He wants to lead you, but He will do that through His Spirit. And we have to be filled with His Spirit to the full. So our vessel needs three things. Let me quickly go through these three things with you. We are the vessel, right? To be filled and then to be led and guided and directed by God into His perfect will, where there's provision for everything we need, it starts, number one, with a vessel that has desire. Desire. Isn't that an interesting word? Desire. You know, God wants to do a lot in our lives, but do you know, He can't do a lot without desire. Desire. If we don't bring the vessel of desire to Him, God is stifled in His ability to work in your life. Here's a statement. Write this one down. We have God in the measure in which we desire Him. Oh, we have God in the measure that we desire Him. The more we desire of God, the more God gives us of Him, of His Spirit. It begins with the vessel of desire. How does desire get created in you? Think about in other areas. What are the things that you desire in your life? How does it get created? You see something that you really find that you want, right? That's what happens when you see something that you really want. It creates in you a desire. That's why the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the Lord knows how He made us, and He knows how we are, and He knows that we need to have something to whet our appetites for more. When we come into a church that is dead, if we come into a church where you can't feel God's Spirit, how much desire is being stirred? Huh? But when we come and we can come into the presence of the Lord, that we can see our youth desiring more of God, when we can see them passionately worshiping, we can enter in also. We can feel God's holiness where we can't breathe, Dee says. We begin to taste of God's Spirit in a way that should cause us to want more. If we stand far off and we don't enter in, we're not able to taste, and because of it, we're not able to create then that greater desire that would, if we had it, cause us to be filled with even more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because taste will create the desire for more. Isn't that like that? When Cindy makes her oatmeal cake with that kind of really gooey icing on top of it with the caramel and the coconut, you know, like that. Oh my God. I take one bite and my desire is awakened. More. Huh. How much more should we be able to taste of the sweetness of God's Spirit and say, I want more, Lord, more. And when we do, guess what? He pours more. It starts, my friends, with desire. And desire begins with being willing to taste. Don't stand far off. Enter in to the presence of God. Taste. And allow that desire to be created. Because, what did I say? We have God in the measure in which we desire Him. We have God in the measure. Another word that I heard here today that was confirmation of this message was this, the other part of the vessel that we have to bring to God is the vessel of expectancy. Expectancy has to do with faith, has to do with our ability to truly believe that we will receive. When this woman sent the message to the prophet, she believed that he could help her because he heard from God. And she was willing to do something before she actually received. She had to do something. She had to go and gather these jars. And that took faith, guys. Girls, that took faith to be able to go around knocking on doors saying, give me jars. Why? I don't know. The man of God said to me that I should gather them and not a few. It took faith for her to do the things that God said do so that I can fill you. Expectancy. Whenever you read about God leading you in the scriptures, whenever you read about something that He has done before, do you ever wonder, can He do that for me? Will He do that for me? We sang a song this morning about that I believe that you are the same. I don't know the exact words of that song, but it had to do with the fact that God, I believe that you still can do the things you did that I read about in the Bible. I believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that you are the unchangeable one, and if you had did it once, you can do it again. I trust and I believe in you. I know you are the same. Your arm, it says, has never grown short. What He's done for others, He can do for you. Right? Expectancy. Here it is. You ready for the next nugget? We set the limit of our possession of God by our expectancy level. Let me say it a little bit more fluidly. We set the limit of our possession of God, His Spirit, by our level of expectation. That's bouncing a little bit. I have to dig it. You're not getting that one, huh? You getting that one? We set the amount of God that we'll get by our expectancy level. How much do you expect? How much do you think this woman expected to get? Do you know what the end of the story was? That when that last jar was filled, she sent the word back to the prophet and said, now what do you want me to do? And he said to the widow, he said, now take the oil and sell it. Now listen to this. And take what you get, pay off all your debts, and live on the rest. So not only did this woman have her creditors paid, but she had enough left to live the rest of her life. How much does she receive? That's a good word. How much does she receive? We have a God that is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. But it does sometimes take faith to be able to believe that He can provide for us when our needs are so great. Huh? This story tells us that He can provide beyond the level of your immediate need to continue to show you by faith that He is able to take care of your whole life. Can you imagine? Bev, can you imagine what it would have been like for this woman to never have to worry again about money? Never. That would never be an issue again in her life. How many want to be there? Amen. Never an issue again in her life. She was focused on her creditors. She was focused on saving her sons from being taken off and made slaves to pay off the debt. And God blessed her with more than she needed to pay the debt, because He wanted to show her that He could take care of her whole life and that she would never have to enter into that kind of worry and fear again. that he was truly her provider. Amen? God is like that. God is truly like that. He desires to show us that when we seek him, we find every good thing. Expectancy is a key part of faith. If you don't expect when you ask, Jesus said, why ask? Believe when you ask, he said, didn't he? Believe that God is able, more than able. Sometimes, you know, I think some of us would be astonished if the things we pray for are actually given to us. Come on, smile and I won't think you're guilty. Yeah. If we expect a little, we'll get a little. What happens when we expect big things from God in our lives? God knows that we believe that he is able to do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those who come to him must not only believe that he exists, but believe what? What's that scripture? Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you see the connection? Diligently seek him. Expectation. God, I seek you because I know in you is my answer. Confidence. We bring then the final component of our vessels to be filled with God. And that actually takes us full circle, because that final component is the vessel of obedience. Being willing actually to do what he says, and to do it as he says to do it. This woman was obedient to the T. She did everything that the Lord instructed her. Everything that he guided her to do, she did to the letter. And as a result, she was provided for. In our lives, we get to understand, God desires to teach us, and so he wants us to be obedient, even in the small things. Because obedience in the small things leads to the fullness of provision, the big things. Faithful in little, faithful in much. We have to learn that we need to be obedient to God in all the areas of our life. And obedience is when you know what is right, do it. Don't try. You know what happens? We sometimes lose that sight of God's ability to provide. And we try to hedge our bets. We try to take matters into our own hands. And we try to, you know, fudge a little bit, doing something on our own that we know is not quite right. But we think we have to. You know, we think we have to, because we're just not sure how else it would happen if we don't do this thing, even though we know it's not quite right to do. Am I making sense? Yet we do it, and we fail the test of obedience. And because of it, we're blocking God's provision in our lives. Obedience. God desires us to obey. It's actually more valuable to God than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. He said through the prophet Samuel to Saul, to obey. Obedience to God means, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I trust in you, and I know that you can guide me. I know you can provide for my life. So if you tell me what to do, I will do it. If you give me guidance, Lord, what doors to open, you know, what things, that I will do it. Whatever you tell me, I will do. You see, when the Lord looks and he sees then that heart that is going to be obedient, he is willing then to continue leading. But what happens when God looks at us and he sees that, yes, I want to lead you and I want to provide for you, but I know what I'm about to tell you, you ain't going to do. You just put the roadblock in your provision, because he saw that no matter what he inspires you to do, you're not going to do it. You're not willing to be obedient. So you block it, the very thing that would bring you the help that you need. Be willing when God leads you. And you know what? He leads you. I feel like I'm at a loss without being able to pick my Bible. He leads you through His Word. Just like we're doing today when we're opening up a story from Scripture. God, through His Spirit, can speak to you in His Word, through His Word, about what to do. You got to pick it up, and you got to be able to read with expectation there, knowing that God's inspired Word by the Holy Spirit that dwells within you can be the thing that He uses to lead you, to guide you, so that your provision will come, so that your vessel will be filled. Amen. Obedience, the third component. Listen to this as we sum up. I think it's might be the next screen, Doug. The scripture that we know, the familiar scripture, is John chapter 10. We know this. We know it full well as we wrap up today. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I want to just focus on that word life for a second, and I'm not going to take much longer, but I'm just going to put a capstone on this message so that you can see something really important and really powerful. This is Jesus' own words. This is what He's saying He's come to do, but He's making us aware that there is another force in the world that comes to steal and kill and destroy. And so He's putting in our lap the choice. That's what this is about. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. But the choice is yours. There is another choice. There is another force that's trying to get you to make that other choice. The thief. Look at this next passage of scripture. I know it looks like a lot of words, but it really isn't. Maybe it is. Deuteronomy 30 and 2 Kings 18. Let me just paraphrase what it says. In these two passages of scripture, here's what's going on. In Deuteronomy, Moses is saying to the people, I set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose. But what I would do if I were you is I would choose life. Choose life that it may go well with you in the land that I'm giving you. Choose life. And when he was saying that, he was holding up the words that God had given them to obey. He said, now I'm putting it in front of you. Choose life. Now, this other scripture, the reason it's there is that because the Israelites messed up, they started having other nations that would come and be like hornets, just driving them crazy and attacking them, and sometimes trying to destroy them. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. In this passage of scripture in 2 Kings 18, there was an Assyrian commander named Sennacherib that had come down against Israel. And as he came down against Israel, this is what he says. He says to the people in Hebrew, he's calling out to them. He says, don't listen to Hezekiah. You need to make peace with my king, the king of Assyria. You need to come with me. And I'm going to give you, your own vine, and I'm going to give you from your own tree, and you can drink water from your own cistern, all this stuff. He says, now, choose life and not death. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says the Lord will deliver us. These two contrasting passages show you and me what Jesus was talking about when he said, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. In this passage in 2 Kings, there is the enemy that says, don't listen to God. Do it my way. Do it my way, and I'll give you life. That's the message we get. That's what we're going to hear when we go out here today. That's the message that we hear in the world, because the spirit of the enemy is still in the world, and his message is still there, trying to get us to do what is wrong, presenting it as life, pleasure, right? Whenever he knows that it is death. So he holds it out there like that carrot, right? And he says, don't believe God and his word. Choose my way. That's life. Don't you know? Jesus says, that's the thief. See clearly, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. Do what is right. And then I can fill you. And then I can provide for you. Choose life. That's what we want to do. Choosing God and more of Him is choosing life. Seek. Desire. Expect. Obey. And you will receive everything. You will be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Desire. Expect. Obey. Watch the hand of the Lord work. Amen. Father, we come before you and we ask you today, Lord God, to help us to see your hand and help us to expect it in our lives. Lord, create in us a desire for you, Lord, that we end up seeking you more than we're seeking other things, because we know when we do, you will fill us. And as you do, Lord, we will be provided with everything we need. Once again, Lord, you're reminding us to put you as our priority. Once again, you're showing us, Lord God, that if we do, everything else in our lives will fall into place. So today, Lord God, help us to heed your words. Lord, we bring to you a vessel that needs you and needs filled. And we pray today, Lord, fill us anew with more of you. We need you. We know it. We desire you, Lord. Fill us with every good thing. Fill us with more of you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.